Thanks for downloading the John Contreras Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.
Live from America's finest city, it's the John Contreras Show. Now, here's the coach, John Contreras, on 97.3 The Fan.
Well, hour number three of the program, and that was really cool that Ron Roberts, a longtime San Diego County Board of Supervisors, we just called the show and shared that story with us about Donnie Edwards going out to the San Pasquale Academy. And Ron, if you're out there, thanks for calling in. That was great. That adds something to the program, no doubt about it. Want to get some phone calls this hour. We're going to get to Bench the Coach as well, but if you'd like to chime in, our final day on the air this week. We'll be off tomorrow and on Monday, but love to hear from you. 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. For you UCLA fans, coming up at 2:35, Ben Bolch, who covers UCLA sports for the LA Times. He'll stop by. We'll talk about UCLA football, UCLA basketball, and UCLA hiring a new athletic director from Boston College, Martin Jarmond. We'll talk with Ben Bolch at 2:35, and then we'll close it out with our Hang a Star play of the day. But right now, let's get to today's Bench the Coach.
It's time to test your San Diego sports knowledge and see if you have what it takes to try and bench the coach on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, Coach, let's welcome our contestant today. His name is Joel from downtown San Diego. Joel, what's going on?
Not much, fellas. Ready for the long weekend.
All right. Hey, Joel, have a great weekend. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for calling in. And best of luck trying to win this Panera gift card today.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it.
All right, Joel, hopefully we can start your weekend off right by winning this Panera gift card. In order to do that today, you're going to have to defeat Coach. In order to defeat Coach, you're going to have to tell me one of the last 10 World Series MVPs dating back to 2010 when the San Francisco Giants won. If you give me a name on the list and you get it correct, you will get a point. For everyone that Coach gets correct, he gets a point. First one to three will win the contest. So, Joel, name me a World Series MVP from the last 10 years.
I'm going to start with last year. It wasn't Howie Kendrick, was it?
It was not Howie Kendrick, but you did pick the right team. The Washington Nationals did win the World Series. Coach, on to you.
Well, the only reason I remember is because I watched the post game and he got a car. I'll go with Steven Strasburg.
That is right. The West Hills San Diego State product, Steven Strasburg, won last year's Most Valuable Player Award in the World Series. Give you another chance here, Joel, and see if you can get one right. One of the last 10 World Series MVPs.
I'm going to go with the George Springer, the Astros. I think he won it a couple years ago.
That's correct. George Springer, 2017. Of course, known for his Springer dingers. He won the World Series MVP for the Houston Astros. Hit 379, 5 homers, 7 runs batted in, and 8 runs scored on 11 hits in his World Series campaign. 1 point for Joel, 1 point for Coach. Coach, back to you.
Oh, man. Tell you what, this gets tougher and tougher as you go through here. I'm trying to think, and then I start thinking about the old-time guys, and I know it's been longer than 10 years, that's the problem. Oh, my goodness gracious, who the heck? I got to come up with somebody. How about Big Poppy?
That's correct. David Ortiz in 2013 as a designated hitter hit .688. 2 home runs, 4 intentional walks, 6 runs batted in the 2003 World Series for the Boston Red Sox. 2-1 in favor of Coach. Joel, give me another World Series MVP in the last 10 years to tie it up.
I never heard of this guy until he won the MVP. Steve Pierce. I remember that name, but I never heard of him.
That's right, Steve Pierce. And Red Sox fans everywhere rejoice. They still love this man, Steve Pierce, first baseman for the Boston Red Sox, won the World Series MVP in 2018. .333 batting average, 3 bombs, 8 runs batted in, 1,167 slugging percentage in the World Series. Really good job by Steve Pierce, and nobody knows who he is except for the fact that he won a World Series MVP. On to you, Coach. If you get one more correct, you will win and knock Joel out. If you get one wrong and Joel gets one right, he can win the Panera gift card.
And for people to know, Steve Pierce retired just before the start of spring training. He just retired, so he'll be out of baseball this year. You know what? The guy that I'll never see a performance like this again. You go back to, I think it was the third one. They won in 10, 12, 14, 2014. Madison Bumgarner of the Giants.
That is correct, Coach. Madison Bumgarner won it in 2014 for the Giants. 2-0 record and one save over three appearances, two starts. One earned run allowed 21 innings pitched, 17 strikeouts. Giants won their third World Series in 6 years, winning in every even year from 2010 to 2014. Congratulations, Coach. You knocked off Joel. Joel, hey, better luck next time.
Hey, Braden, hang on. Is he still on the line there?
He is.
Oh, yeah, I'm still here, Coach.
Okay. Hey, we're going to a four-day holiday here to honor our military, and I want to be a nice guy today. I'm going to give you this $50 Panera gift card. You gave me a good effort today. I want you to enjoy it and stay on the line. We'll get all your information here in a couple of minutes, and thanks again for tuning into my program.
Always, Coach. I appreciate the generosity. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Yeah, we got to take care of him today. You know, he came. Those were not easy, Braden. Those were not easy. And I'll tell you, he impressed me when he got Steve Pierce, because most people don't even know who Steve Pierce is to this day.
That's right. Nobody ever knows who Steve Pierce is. But it's good for Joel. He was able to get a couple of them right. Of course, he ran into some trouble there with, you know, the first one. He didn't get Howie Kendrick on the first one. He probably could have won today. But here's the full list if you want it. Yeah. Edgar Renteria won the World Series for this, or not the World Series, the World Series MVP, San Francisco Giants in 2010. David Freese, former Padre, surprisingly enough. Remember, he had that incredible World Series against the Rangers in 2011. Pablo Sandoval in 2012 for the Giants. David Ortiz for the Boston Red Sox in 2013. Madison Bumgarner for the Giants in 2014. Salvador Perez won it for the Kansas City Royals in 2015. Ben Zobrist for the Cubs in 2016. George Springer, who Joel said, for the Astros in 2017. Steve Pierce, who Joel said, for the Boston Red Sox in 2018. And Steven Strasburg for the Washington Nationals last season, who you said, Coach.
You know, I think, you know, you mentioned Ben Zobrist when the Cubs won it. Most people wouldn't. They'd have gone with Chris Bryant or Rizzo or Javi Baez. Nobody would have mentioned Ben Zobrist at all. I mean, kind of like a Steve Pierce type of guy. I mean, Zobrist had a really nice major league career, but he's not a guy you would think would be the MVP of a World Series.
Right. And the MVP World Series are also, like, really, I wouldn't say weird, but they're a lot. I mean, David Freese for the Cardinals is not a guy. I know he had a really big walk-off home run the 11th of Game 6, but, I mean, that's not a stereotypical dude that you would think about on the St. Louis Cardinals or winning an MVP, and it's usually guys that just had pretty big series.
Well, that was a good one. That was a good one today, Braden. We had some good ones this week. Hey, you know, the one thing we haven't mentioned, and I think in our next segment, we're going to get into those NFL rules a little bit. I can't wait to hear this information on the onside kicks, because they're trying to do away with all that kind of stuff. They don't want any type of collisions. But, you know, last night at Darlington, Denny Hamlin winning that 3:10 race last night, and they came up 20 laps short because of the rain. What do you think of that last night? You got a chance to watch a little bit after our big meeting yesterday, didn't you?
What did I watch?
The Darlington race.
Oh, the Darlington race. Absolutely. I was able to watch that. In fact, I actually got all my work done here while the rain delay was going on. I was able to watch it and watch Denny Hamlin get the win. By the way, you see Denny Hamlin's mask he was wearing?
No, I didn't see that, but I did see him driving around in the rain. You know what was really weird? That was kind of weird, though, watching that race last night. You know, when we watched the Darlington on Sunday, you know, it was one thing. It was during the day, but it was really weird, kind of eerie last night. Those guys going around that track, it was raining and nobody in the stands and so dark there.
Right. I don't mind. I like the weekday racing. I thought it was very entertaining, probably because there's nothing else on TV. But I enjoyed it. By the way, Denny Hamlin's mask, his face mask that he wears, is a picture, is just his face smiling. So it looks like he's smiling with the mask on, which is fantastic. But I thought the race last night was I thought it was really good. Unfortunately, it sucked that it got banged due to rain at the end. But it was those guys were pushing really hard at Darlington last night, especially since it was a shorter type of race in terms of laps, and they were gearing for it.
Hey, how about the little situation with Kyle Busch last night, knocking Chase Elliott out of the race, and then Elliott getting out of his car and standing there by the inside part of the track and gave him the number one sign as he came back around. And then, you know, the pit crew for Elliott was real upset. And you know what? I give Busch credit. You know, he could have gone back and forth, but he admitted he screwed up last night.
He does that a lot.
Yeah, I know. Well, he got a reputation. There's no question about that. I'm just glad it didn't come to fisticuffs last night.
Oh, that would have been very interesting to see. I'm sure there would have been some fines dished out, especially I don't know how you can fight when you're supposed to be socially distancing yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, want to remind everyone, you want to win a $500 Sprouts Farmers Market gift card? Well, right here from 97.3 The Fan, go to our radio.com app. It's a radio.com app contest. It started on Monday, May 18th, and runs through June 1st. You need to download the radio.com app, follow 97.3 The Fan, and hit play for your chance to win a $500 Sprouts Farmers Market gift card. Again, go to 97.3 The Fan, sd.com. For more details. Braden, you know, getting back to that race last night, we got another one coming up on Sunday. But last night, I mean, they, you know, I kept watching it, and they had stops and then they started, and they were doing everything possible to get that entire race in last night. And finally, they just said, hey, you know, it's done. We're done. We're not going to keep these guys out here. It's unsafe and it's time to go home.
Yeah, they made it through the official race level in terms of how many laps they needed to do and how many stages they needed to get done. And it was very interesting as the rain started to come in right before they went to that last caution where Chase Elliott spun out. It looked like a lot of them were playing for the rain. They weren't getting tires as much. You could tell the difference between some of the racers and drivers that were going for, you know, going for the finish and ones that were just trying to get in a good spot for when they thought the rain delay was going to happen or the finish of the race due to rain.
You know, our guy Clint Bowyer was right up there neck and neck early, and I didn't look at the final tally where he finished up, but he was hanging in there pretty good most of the race last night.
He was cruising the entire time. I didn't think anybody was going to catch him, and then, of course, you know, had a couple cautions, knocked him back, and then he got back into the spot and then eventually spun out and knocked himself out of the race. But he was doing really well early. I mean, he had a couple seconds on the rest of the pack, and he looked like his car was just – was humming yesterday, but those guys were pushing it a lot more than they were on Sunday. That's for sure. I think it's the experience of having that track and doing it back to back races in a span of a couple days probably helped them out. But they're pushing it yesterday. I thought it was a really good race. It was pretty clean for the most part, especially with the fact that a lot of those guys haven't raced in 2 months besides Sunday. So I'm looking forward to another one at Charlotte on Sunday.
You know, you were talking about how you really liked the weekday racing. Well, you know what? I don't know if they'll have more of it, but, you know, that's the first time NASCAR has had an event on a Wednesday since back in 1984. Think about that, 1984.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. And, I mean, I think a lot of fans would be in favor of it, you know, down the road. But, again, if you're NASCAR, you got to compete with some things when life gets back to normal, especially baseball. You got to compete with some other things that are in the weekdays and the NBA potentially and playoffs and what have you. So, you know, I can see them probably maybe doing it maybe in the summertime. You know, it's only baseball they're competing with. But aside from that, I like the weekday race. I thought it was fun. And I don't know what the test is on the drivers. I've never driven in a race before. I've never raced anything. I've never raced motorcycles. I know how sore your body is. And you do have to be an athlete to do what they do. I don't know what the response time is in terms of racing compared to like other sports.
I wonder how your forearms feel after you get done with like a 300-mile race or a 500-mile race. I mean, those forearms have got to be barking, I would think.
I know for a fact my grandfather raced motorcycles. He said, like, your wrists and your forearms take a beating, and you're sore for, like, days upon days when he was racing in the desert, and that's on a motorcycle. I mean, those cars are it's not like driving one of our cars. It's got, like, where it's, you know, it's easy to steer and all that other stuff. And, I mean, those guys are going really fast, and they got a lot of things that they got to do. And it's tough sitting in that car for so long, basically doing those 500-mile races or driving to, like, Tucson from San Diego. So it's a lot of work. And, again, I don't know how quick I could get back and race the next day. I don't know what their feeling is on that, and I don't know what the soreness is. I mean, they race once a week. With the exception of the guys that race in the different series, like Xfinity and the truck series and some of the guys that, you know, do a couple races a week. But I mean, is your body as sore as it is when you play football? I mean, I don't know what the soreness level is and how much time you need to recover before you race again.
You know, we hear all the time about, you know, how Tiger Woods changed golf, you know, with working out, lifting weights and stretching and all that. I wonder about these drivers. I wonder what kind of workouts they do, lifting weights, Pilates, you know, a lot of stretching. I kind of wonder what they do. It'd be interesting to find out, you know, once we get back and rolling, maybe we can track one of these drivers down. That'd be an interesting question, I think, for them. I mean, I think in the old days, guys just got in and they flat out drove. And they drove and drove and drove. But, you know, I think nowadays they probably eat better. They're hydrated better, and I'm sure they go about, you know, physical training a little bit better.
Oh, Jimmy Johnson runs marathons. I mean, I would imagine they probably do that. I bet you the pit crews work out, too. I mean, I see them stretching before and getting loosened up. The last thing you need is for a guy to pull a hamstring or tear something when he's jumping over the wall trying to get some tires on.
I'll tell you what, Braden. You know, I was talking with Kelly the other day, and we were talking about the race on Sunday. I wouldn't want to be in a pit crew. I mean, you talk about being in a dangerous situation. I'd want no part of a pit crew.
Yeah, that sounds it sounds incredible. The adrenaline rush is probably fun, but there's a lot of things that could go terribly, terribly wrong. I mean, it's definitely a very dangerous job when you got cars rolling through there, and you got, you know, I mean, you got gasoline all over the place, and you know, sparks flying, and all that sort of fun stuff.
Yeah, not for me. I'd be the last guy that, you know, I have a hard enough time just changing a tire on my car, let alone a race car. Hey, I want to remind everyone you can tune in tonight for the Padres Social Hour, hosted by our buddy Jesse Agler. It runs not only tonight, but Monday through Thursday at 7 p.m., right after Gwen and Chris, and the Padres play here, of course, on 97.3 The Fan. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we're going to get into the onside kick rule that they're talking about and some of the other rules of the National Football League. Again, coming up at 2:35, we're going to talk UCLA sports with the writer from the LA Times, Ben Bulge. Coach John Cantara headed to 3 o'clock, and Gwen and Chris right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. I want to remind everyone that John Cantara Show is brought to you by DuckDuckGo Privacy. Want the same internet, but more privacy? DuckDuckGo's got you covered. They help millions of people like you get privacy online without any trade-offs. With one download, you can search and browse privately, avoiding trackers, all for free. DuckDuckGo. Privacy simplified. And a reminder, we give away that $50 Panera Bread gift card today, and look forward to doing that again next week on Bench the Coach. Always have a good time with that. And just want to remind everyone, Panera Bread, we're here for you with contactless delivery and new drive-up curbside ordering and pickup. Order online at PaneraBread.com. Well, I would imagine you can walk into Panera and sit down as of today. So, I want to say this. I'm going to get out to Scott here momentarily on a phone call. I want to encourage you. We're on the air because of our sponsors. So when I read these sponsorships, if you can kind of keep track, and I read them day in and day out, if you can keep track of our sponsors, when you can, please give them their business, or we wouldn't be on the air through the last 10 weeks. And we thank all of our sponsors, and we thank all of you great listeners that have stuck with us through this a very difficult time in American history. Let's get out to Scott. Scott, welcome to 97.3 The Fan. How are you today, my friend?
Doing great, Coach. First off, just want to say I appreciate you every day listening in like you're a good friend.
Well, thank you very much.
Oh, it makes it better. Hey, I want to ask you, you've been around Major League Baseball player personalities, and I listened to that commentary by Snell earlier, and that blew me away. You know, they have the privilege to play baseball. They're entertainers, and they don't have the right to play baseball. And the fact that they think, you know, we're going to do this and only this, when we got, you know, like people in my company, they've been on the front line since day one. They're in construction. They're out there working hard for us, risking their health to keep the economy rolling. And this guy's saying, I'm not going to risk my health, maybe to get COVID, maybe to hurt my body. You know, like they're entitled to be able to play baseball. And is that just built into that mentality of, you know, the elite player kind of has that different mentality than the rest of us that, you know, don't take things for granted?
Well, I think a lot of it, it may have to do, you know, his agent may be feeding him the story of what they're supposed to, you know, basically tell everybody to make people feel sorry for them. I thought Blake Snell came across as a real turd last week, to be honest with you. I would be embarrassed if I was the general manager or the owner of that ball club. I was embarrassed for the Tampa Bay Rays because I know they got some good people that work in that front office. But, you know, hey, everybody's entitled to their opinion. But you know, he's the type of guy, if he's really got that attitude, then I realize he's one of Cy Young. I realize he's one of the talented guys, and you can't, you know, throw everybody out the door. But he's the type of guy, he's going to be with you basically win or tie, and when things get tough, he may be going the other way on you.
Yeah, I you know, it just blew me away. This isn't like the labor dispute back in the day about fighting for, you know, your labor rights. This is a one-time pandemic event that the owners didn't cause. This was, hey, let's get back to baseball for our fans. Let's get back to baseball for our society. And I think that's why baseball slipped. I mean, it used to be our pastime. It used to be America in the 70s. Now today, you know, I think they're third behind NFL and NBA. And I don't know, maybe this is part of it.
Well, you know, the unfortunate thing, and, you know, I guess it's the way you look at it. And I mean, I worked in the agent business for about a year and a half, and I saw the good, the bad, the ugly, and I think good agents can really help their clients a great deal, especially if you got a high-quality ball player. And I'm talking about not a high-quality guy that can, you know, get it done and, you know, is a Bryce Harper-type guy or a guy that's going to make millions and millions of dollars. But I'm talking about having good quality guys that get it and want to do what's best. I mean, you know, I'll give you an example on Adrian Gonzalez. Adrian Gonzalez made a lot of money in endorsements in his career. But Adrian Gonzalez normally never even took that endorsement money. He put it to his charity or to his foundation, and there are guys like that. They've made a ton of money. They're thankful. They're grateful. They want to do things good in the community. That's why I love Adrian Gonzalez, because I know that Adrian has taken all the money, especially probably the last 10 years of his years in the big leagues, all the money he made in endorsements, whether they're for shoes or, you know, a Nike deal or something, he donated that to charity. And I know there are other guys that do that, but, you know, he does it, and he doesn't even probably know that I know that, but I know that. And I want to give him a pat on the back. It's like we had Donnie Edwards on earlier, and Ron Roberts, the former gentleman that worked for years here in San Diego with the Board of Supervisors, called in and told this great story about Donnie Edwards going out to San Pasqual Academy, a school for, you know, kids that were from foster homes. I mean, those are the stories I like to hear. And then I hear Blake Snell, you know, maybe he had a few beers in him last week. I don't know. But, you know, he embarrassed himself, and unfortunately he embarrassed his organization as well with those flippant comments the other night on Twitch.
I agree. Hey, one quick story on Adrian. I was at a Madre's event, and his signed bat was up. And it went to close, the auction item closed, the gal grabbed the sheet. But one of the Padres' girlfriends came up and wrote her name in and kind of took it. Well, Adrian was there. He saw that. He walked up to me and says, give me your card. I'll send you a bat. And I agreed. I said, well, I'll match my donation. And I think it was the gal Susan in the Padres front office. She made it. He signed another bat for me. I picked it up when I was the next Padre home game. And that's the kind of guy he was.
Oh, Adrian's a great guy. You know, I'll tell you, when he was playing ball, he'd get a little grouchy from time to time, but he normally would snap out of it, and he'd be grouchy normally. Maybe he was about 0 for 7 or 0 for 8, but he gets a couple of hits. The next day you go down there, he's back to being the old Adrian Gonzalez. But he's a great competitor, and I hope, and we had Adrian on the program here a few weeks ago, I'm hoping he gets back in baseball in some capacity because he's got a lot to give.
Thanks, Coach.
All righty, happy Memorial Day, and let's remember, and thanks, Scott, I appreciate the phone call. Let's remember what Memorial Weekend is. It just isn't a day or two off. We're celebrating the military, and I don't think I will go to it this year. I don't know if they're even having it. I don't think they're having it over here at La Colonial Park in Solana Beach. I went over there last year, and they had a nice tribute to the military, but I don't think they're having it. I haven't seen anything in our local paper. Hey, also want to remind you, you can move forward while listening to 97.3 The Fan via the radio.com app by asking Alexa to play 97.3 The Fan or by listening online at 97.3thefansd.com. Braden, I know we got Ben Bolch coming up here in a couple of minutes, but I want to get to this because I've been teasing it, and I want to find out more about it. The new NFL rule change regarding onside kicks. Enlighten me.
So they're taking one out of the XFL and the AAF to a certain extent, and this is what the Eagles proposed, but it's kind of interesting. This is the one that was the most interesting rule that was being proposed that will be voted on next week. An alternative to the onside kick that would allow a team a chance to maintain possession by going for it on 4th and 15 from their own 25-yard line. Sounds like a lot of support for the idea is growing. Also, part of that rule is in fact that the clock will run during that time too. The game clock starts on the snap. The normal NFL timing rules apply. So unlike an extra point, two-point conversion, or kickoff for a touchback, time will run off the clock when teams use the onside kick alternative. Consider a team that scores a go-ahead touchdown with only a second or two left in the fourth quarter. That team might use the onside kick alternative just to have the quarterback kneel down and run the remaining time off the clock rather than kick off and risk a kickoff return touchdown. I think the other thing you could do is you could do it this way twice only. It is basically what I've read, but it's a very interesting proposal out there, and it's definitely a way to make the game very exciting.
Right, I'm a little confused on that. You're talking about going for it on fourth down, 15 yards. What about the onside kick, though?
That would be the onside kick. So instead of kicking, you can elect to go for it to run one play and get 15 yards from your own 25-yard line. And if you don't get it, the other team gets the ball right there.
I don't know if I'm for that or not. I'm going to have to use the holiday to salivate on this one a little bit.
It's the same, you know, onside kick rule that the XFL and the AAF did. I don't think we ever saw it too much. No team was ever able to
fold
a chance, but
weeks.
I guess that's one of the ones that's being proposed. I think it's very interesting. And basically, the way they have the onside kick set up now for safety, I mean, it's almost impossible to get one anyway. You might as well just have them run a play.
Yeah, you know, I kind of like, you know, as far as kickoffs, I'm hoping the NFL goes to that kickoff situation that the XFL did where they're 5 yards apart. I thought that was fantastic. I thought that really worked, and that's what they want to cut down on. They don't want guys running 40 and 50 yards full bore down there and getting hammered or vice versa. I think what they did in the XFL was perfect for me because it really comes down to man-to-man blocking.
I would rather watch the XFL kickoff, then watch the guy kick it into the stands and have the returner stick his arms out wide like, we're going to hold and not return.
Yeah, well, that's the way the NFL wants it right now because they really do. They want to eliminate kickoffs. They've been wanting to eliminate kickoffs for a number of years.
Yeah, which I'm against as a special teams coach and as someone that loves the game and as someone that, you know, there's a lot of guys that need jobs for kickoff team, and including the kickers, and that's how a lot of guys make the NFL for the beginning part of their career before they can, you know, get into a starting role or backup role. So, you know, I'm all for the kickoffs and any way in shape possible to make it safe.
Okay, we're going to step aside. When we come back, we're going to talk UCLA athletics. Their football program had two miserable years under Chip Kelly. Basketball in their first year under Mick Cronin finished second in the Pac-12 and really was making some good progress there when the season got called off. And we're going to find out more about the new athletic director at UCLA, Martin Jarman. We're going to be talking with Ben Bolch from the LA Times next on the John Contreras Show right here on San Diego's number one sports station. Thanks for tuning in to 97.3 The Fan. Hour of the John Contreras Show brought to you by the California Highway Patrol Motorcycle Safety Program. As we all start to get back on the road again, now's the perfect time to think about taking a California motorcyclist safety course. Whether it's your first time on a motorcycle or you've ridden before, anyone can benefit from learning the latest skills and techniques. Visit CaliforniaMotorcyclist.com to learn more. Well, Ben Bolch, unfortunately, had to cancel. He's now scheduled for Tuesday. He got stuck in a meeting there at the LA Times. They're probably trying to sort out what they're going to do with their sports page over the weekend. But Ben Bolch will join us on Tuesday on the program. I apologize for that. But we called him and still stuck in a meeting, so he's gracious enough to come on Tuesday. Also, we're going to talk with Kendall Rogers, who covers college baseball for D1 Baseball. He'll join us on the program. We're also going to track down, I think, what will be an interesting guest, Clark Judge, our good buddy from Talk of Fame Network. He'd written an article. I think a lot of you old-time Charger fans will appreciate it. He went back to the AFL days and had a couple of Chargers that maybe have been overlooked for the Hall of Fame and some other AFL stalwarts of yesteryear. So we'll track Clark Judge down along with Ben Bolch and Kendall Rogers for the program coming out of the Memorial holiday on Tuesday. And I want to wish everyone a very happy and safe holiday. If you're going out to a restaurant, make sure you bring your mask with you. You got to wear your mask, and then when you're eating, you're able to take it off. But hope all the restaurants do well. Hope all the retail folks have a great weekend. And just glad that we're starting to slowly open up a little bit. Braden, with Ben not able to come on, let's get to a few more of those rules. And I also wanted to mention, how about ESPN apparently now going to put together a 9-part docuseries on Mr. Tom Brady?
Yeah, they just ordered a 9-part series on Tom Brady. I think that's going to be a very interesting, to see. Again, we'll see how it goes. It's not as appealing to me as Michael Jordan, even though Brady has had a lot of success. But maybe we'll shed some insight and some light on Tom Brady. And I didn't dislike Michael Jordan going in, but I definitely liked him a lot more coming out of The Last Dance. So maybe I'll like Tom Brady a little bit more. I know it's a little skewed. It's basically an autobiography, than a biography on these athletes, and they kind of control what is said and what's not. But it'd be very interesting to see.
I'm looking forward to it. I'll be honest, he wouldn't have been one of my top two or three, but now that we've heard that that's what it's going to be on, I'll look forward to it.
Right, and it gives us something else to watch eventually. I don't know when that's going to come on or when it's going to air, but again, you got Tom Brady, Tiger Woods, Peyton Manning, and Phil Mickelson all playing golf this weekend. That's something to watch for on a Sunday afternoon.
Hey, who you got winning that?
I don't know. I guess didn't Phil beat Tiger last time in the one-on-one? I mean, so it's Phil and Tom Brady and Peyton Manning and Tiger. I kind of like Peyton Manning and Tiger's chances a little bit more.
Yeah, I like that's who I'm going with. I'm saying that Woods and Manning are going to win because I think Peyton's had a little bit more time to play golf than Tom Brady. Tom Brady's just looking for a park down there in Tampa Bay to be able to work out.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he brings a football out there just to throw it around a little bit.
Hey, did you see that he was in a park working out the other day? But it wasn't so much that he was working out in the park with some of his teammates. He was wearing shoulder pads.
Yeah, he had his Bucks helmet on, too. He looked like a Bucks practice at some park in the middle of Tampa.
Well, that was pretty funny. I got a kick out of that. Hey, let's get back here before we run out of time. Let's get back to some of those NFL rules.
These, of course, are some proposed rules. We talked about the rule instead of an onside kick that you could potentially do. Of course, it needs to be voted on and approved next week. The one we were talking about before was an alternative to an onside kick. It would allow a team a chance to maintain possession by going for it on 4th and 15 from their own 25-yard line. Definitely an intriguing rule for a lot of people and a lot of teams. The Philadelphia Eagles proposed that one. Moving on to some other rules that have been proposed. Proposals to be voted on next week. Competition committee rules. These are rules proposed by the competition committee, not the individual organizations. Competition committee wants to expand defenseless player protection to a kickoff or punt returner who is in possession of the ball but has not had time to avoid or ward off impending contact of an opponent. I think this rule is good in terms of principle, but at the end of the day, it seems like it's very vague and open for some serious penalties that might cost some teams.
Is this the old Halo rule where you got to give the guy plenty of room to catch the ball?
It sounds like, because they already have the Halo rule, it sounds like you got to let him make a move before you can hit him.
Well, they're not much of a Halo rule these days. I mean, those guys are breathing right in that guy's face as he catches the ball.
Right, but if he catches it, as soon as he catches it, he should be allowed to get hit. That's just my personal opinion, but if you're going to let him run a couple steps before you can tackle him, it's just, to me, the way it's set up is just too vague and it's too much of interpretation that the less vagueness I think in rules, the better.
Why do they keep changing the rules? You know, football's a pretty damn good sport. People actually like watching it. Why do they keep screwing with some of these rules that seem to be working just fine?
Save face, make it look like their sport is safe when you have to wear protective gear to play the sport, which doesn't make any sense.
Well, I got news for you, and I realize these guys are bigger, stronger, faster, quicker than they were, you know, 40 years ago. But I'll also tell you, players with the equipment they wear now, they've never been safer.
I agree. I mean, some of the helmets that I've seen, you know, even my dad still has his high school football helmet from 1985. You know, and I look at the inside of the pads and I compare it to my high school football helmet. My high school football helmet's like wearing a pillow compared to like the things that they had to wear in the 1980s.
Oh, absolutely. And go back, think about the guys who were playing back in the 40s. My dad played college football. They didn't wear a face mask. He had about seven, between boxing and playing college football, he had about seven broken noses.
Yeah, that's disgusting. The other rule that they threw out, the competition committee did, prevent teams from manipulating the game clock by committing multiple dead ball fouls while the clock is running.
That'll be the Belichick rule, because he was really good at it, and when it turned on him last year, he got all bent out of shape.
Right, and I think that should be a rule that's definitely in place. They'll be committing dead ball fouls to try to keep the clock running.
Right.
Moving on to the ones that the clubs have proposed, as well as the onside kick, Philadelphia has also proposed to make permanent the expansion of the automatic replay reviews to include scoring plays and turnovers negated by a foul and any successful or unsuccessful point after attempt or try attempt.
That's fine. I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with that, too. In fact, I thought it was already in effect. Rule proposal by the Miami Dolphins, provide the option to the defense for the game clock to start on a referee signal if the defense declines an offensive penalty that occurs late in either half.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, it should go both ways. So, yeah, I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with that, too. I mean, you decline a penalty and the clock still stops because of the penalty. I mean, you should be able to run the clock, especially if you have the lead.
Yeah, I think that's okay. I'm kind of surprised they haven't done that before.
Right, I agree. Some of these rules are like that. Baltimore and the Chargers want to add a booth umpire as an eighth game official to the officiating crew. I know this was talked about earlier on in the season. I don't think it passed in the first time through, but we'll see if it passes the second time. They want a eighth game official to the officiating crew as a booth umpire.
Why?
I don't know. Maybe,
I mean, why? I mean, you got the replay official, right?
Up in the booth, or do they want the guy like the XFL where they had the replay official calling down and saying, we got to review this? Is that what they want?
What, did the Chargers figure if they had a booth replay guy last year that had won six games rather than five?
Yeah, maybe they would have more success if they had the booth umpire that could like call down and say, no, you missed this holding call.
Now, you don't need that. Forget that.
That's too much. I mean, if you don't see it on the field, you shouldn't have the luxury of having somebody in the stands or in the booth.
That's just somebody else picking up a check that really doesn't need to be there.
Right. Baltimore and Los Angeles has also thrown out the idea to add a senior technology advisor to the referee to assist the officiating crew. Again, another officiating thing for the Chargers.
Why are Baltimore and the Chargers, they scheming together now?
I don't know. Those are the only rules that were proposed by two teams, and they're both by the same two teams. I don't know. I don't know why thinking in the same direction. Maybe the Chargers didn't think they had enough clout, so they had to bring Baltimore in.
Yeah, I'd wipe both of those off. We got anything else?
That is it, and that'll be voted on next week. The only one I could see potentially going through is maybe the onside kick rule. I think that would be exciting, and I think the competition committee is for that. Or some of the safety rules I could see getting passed just because safety is involved.
Hey, one college football note, and, you know, we're starting to hear more and more about college football, but our buddy Brett McMurphy announced today that Alabama, Arizona are going to add a home-and-home series. Hope I'm around to see this one, Braden. It'll be at Alabama in 2032 and at Arizona in 2033. And really, I think, you know, you look at Arizona where they're at right now with Kevin Sumlin, they're not very good, and it may be his last year. If he can't show more improvement this year, I got to believe they're going to let him go after three seasons. But when you look at the year 2032, good news for Arizona, Nick Saban won't be the head coach of Alabama. He'll have been long retired by then.
I think so, too. Let's see how good Arizona is at recruiting 6 to 10-year-olds right now, and maybe they can get some steam to try to compete with Alabama. As an Arizona Wildcat fan, again, I don't think they're going to keep Sumlin much longer. I think he's got to win at least 8 or 9 games this season in order to save his job, and I don't even think he's going to be able to do that. This is an interesting game for Arizona, interesting series. I'll be 37 when this rolls around, so maybe 37-year-old me will be ready to watch this game with my kids and get ready for disappointment.
Yeah, you'll be married with at least a couple of kids, if not 3 kids by that point in time, and you'll be well into your career nonetheless. Hey, I want to remind everyone, all guests on the John Quintero Show come be the SDCCU Fan Hotline. You can vote SDCCU for the best credit union in the Union Tribune Readers Poll daily at SDCCU.com/vote. San Diego County Credit Union, it's not big bank banking, it's better. Brady, let's get to today's Hang a Star Play of the Day.
What play separated the winners from the losers? It's time for the Hang a Star Play of the Day.
You can hang a star on that, baby!
The 97.3 The Fan.
Tato on first, Hosmer up, he swings at the first pitch and sends one to deep left field. This one is up and out! A 2-run home run for Eric Hosmer. And just like that, the Padres lead 3-2 San Diego here in the 6th.
That was the Hang a Star Play of the Day on the John Cantara Show on 97.3 The Fan.
Eric Hosmer, 2-run shot to give the Padres a 3-2 lead over the Arizona Diamondbacks. Padres are going to win 3-2 over the Arizona Diamondbacks a year ago today.
Well, Braden, I'm hoping we hear that between 20 and 25 times this year between Jesse Agler and Ted Leitner for Eric Hosmer. I'd love for him to have about a 25-homer campaign, but, I know it's prorated, so, I'll take 13 or 14.
Yeah, that sounds good to me, and sooner we can play highlights of current games, the better.
Just kind of looking around this weekend, anything really catch your fancy as far as sports? I guess the NASCAR event on Sunday, we got Mickelson and Brady going against Tiger Woods, Peyton Manning. I'm actually going to watch that a little bit. That'll be kind of fun.
I'll be watching the golf. I'll be watching the NASCAR. Sunday seems to be my day in terms of sports watching because I'm not that into soccer. Not really know how much I'm going to watch. But, hopefully we get some good news with some baseball next week coming back, or at least giving us an idea of when they can come back and we can start gearing up for baseball to come back. Because I guess we're going to wait till June for at least the NBA to start gearing up again. But I think sports are going to be here sooner rather than later. I got some exciting news from some high schools locally here and in the rest of California that are getting ready to gear up. So we're starting to get things going here in San Diego and California, United States, and hopefully worldwide, where you're continue to have success.
I got to get you on the pitch. I mean, we got to get you watching a little bit of soccer. I mean, just before this pandemic hit, I went down and watched the San Diego Loyal in their first home game. And that was great. The next day, took the family down. We went down to a Lincoln High FC 1904, watched that game, and enjoyed both of them. Was looking forward to going to more soccer matches. And, we talked about it on Monday. The German soccer last weekend, the ratings, and I realized they were low to start with, but, people were getting up early, they were watching, and they had 735% increase in viewership last week. So, you could have helped the cause if you'd have tuned in for a few minutes.
I'm not waking up at 6:30 in the morning to watch soccer.
Well, you know what? If it was a football game, a good football game, you think you'd get up, or you're going to sleep in no matter what?
If it was a good college game, I would do it. If it's a London game, I'm out. Depends on what game it is. I might get up.
Well, we don't have to worry
about
that.
It also depends on
like
if it's my team or not. If it's my team, I'm definitely getting up. If it's not, my interest level is not as high. But if it was a good college game or a good NFL game that was the game of the week potentially just that early in the morning, mm-hmm. I'd probably watch it. Same with baseball and Major League Baseball. I'm not doing it for soccer though. It doesn't tickle my fancy.
All righty, Braden. Have a great holiday, my friend. Good work this week, and you and I, we're in good shape. Tuesday, we got 3 great guests coming up on Tuesday, so enjoy your time off.
Sounds good, Coach. Hopefully next time I see you, I'll be tan because of this weekend.
I'll look forward to it. Again, Tuesday, we'll be back on the air. We're going to be talking with Kendall Rogers from D1 Baseball. We'll talk with Clark Judge, Talk of Fame Network, and we'll also talk UCLA Sports with Ben Bolsch. Have a great holiday, everyone. Be safe. And make sure to stay tuned in to 97.3 The Fan. Bye-bye.
Thanks for downloading the John Contreras Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.